Turn in your Bible to the book of John chapter number 19 and the book of Matthew chapter number 27. Two texts we'll be reading from this morning. John 19 and Matthew 27. Amen. Pray for those that are not able to be with us today. Miss Evelyn and the boys, Brother Shelby, Miss Louise, and the different needs there. We, Lord, help with those situations and cases. The Lord be with them, and then that he be with us this morning also as well, for his glory and honor. Amen. Matter of fact, that song we just sang, Patch the Parrot wrote that song. Ron Hamilton. And wrote a lot of good songs, matter of fact. Not just little silly songs. He wrote some good, serious songs. And that's a good one. Amen. Born to die upon Calvary. And I'm going to be preaching on Calvary this morning. And so, Brother Philip didn't know that, orchestrated that way. I knew it. That's how I lined the songs up for the choir. But then we sang that one. I appreciate that. Amen. From we started out that way this morning, then ended up that way right before the message. And I want to think about Calvary this morning, if I can, by the help of the Lord. John chapter number 19. I'm going to read one verse, verse number 25. John 19, verse 25. And then hold your place in John 19. We'll be back, but we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 27 as well. So let me read that. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary. I'm not on. It's my fault. Hang on right here. All right. There we go. There we go. Let me read that verse again. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now turn to Matthew chapter number 27 and start with verse number 33. Matthew 27 and verse number 33. Read that with me if you will. We'll read that together. Matthew 27, 33. The Bible says, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now, I'm going to stop there. I want to take my text and thought from verse 33. And sitting down, they watched him there. Also from John 19:25, there stood by the cross. I want to preach on this thought, staying near the cross. Staying near the cross. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, as I said, taking my text from these portions and my thought from these two verses, portions of verses, and sitting down, they watched him there. That is a totally different group than the one in John 19 that says, and there stood, now there stood by the cross of Jesus. You got a group that's standing, you got a group that's sitting. But they're two totally different groups. But whatever group you would fit in, I think we can learn from both of these that we would do well to stay near the cross. Amen. Not to ever deviate too far from the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so I want to couple these two phrases today together. If I can, by way of introduction, let me mention, I've got 5 points. They'll be quick and they're simple, to be honest with you. But we'll look at those as we go. But by way of introduction, I said these are two totally different groups that are located at the foot of the cross of Jesus on that day. One group was his enemies, the other, his family and friends. Right. The group in Matthew 27 are his enemies. Look with me there. Matthew 27 and verse number 36. And sitting down, underline that word, they watched him there.
the they that are watching him are the same they in verse number 33 when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull. The same they in verse number 34, they gave him vinegar to drink. The same they in verse number 35, and they crucified him. It's the same they. The enemies brought him to that place. The enemies nailed him to the cross. The enemy raised him up on the cross, and the enemy sat down to watch him there. The enemy. The second group are his friends and family. Matter of fact, John only mentions women. He doesn't mention any men. Doesn't mention any of the disciples. In that case, he does later. Refers to himself being there. But in this particular verse, he mentions only women, and all three of these women are named Mary. That's why we say Merry Christmas. No, I'm kidding. Different Mary. Amen. But it is interesting that all three of these women are named Mary. Now, here's what I want to notice. Both of these groups are watching the crucifixion. One group is watching through their cheers and their jeers. The other group is watching through their tears and their fears. One group is sinfully ignorant. Jesus said later, they know not what they do. They're sinfully ignorant. The other group, sadly confused. And no doubt they're wondering what they would do. Because they felt like Christ came to rule. They didn't see him coming to die. Although Simeon, in the prophecy there in the book of Luke, when Mary brought Jesus to the temple and made her offering there at the temple, then Simeon took him up in his arms and he said, there's a sword going to pierce him and going to pierce through your heart also. The idea here that he was born to die. Amen. But they didn't recognize that or even understand that. I want to take a few minutes, if I can, using our imagination as if we're there in that crowd. And I want us to look at the cross. I want to try to tie it with the scriptures, of course. Place ourselves at the foot of the cross on that day. Think about what we see there. What we would see, what we could see. I think this is what the Apostle Paul had in mind. Matter of fact, I think, by the way, Paul was not there. On that day of Calvary, Paul was not there. But Paul made this statement, a famous statement that he made in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wasn't there at the cross, but Paul said, I don't ever want to get far from the cross. Amen. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. Amen. And so Paul wanted to stay near the cross, and that's what I want to preach about, staying near the cross. Now, I'm not really talking about daily devotion, though that's good and it's fitting to do. Be dedicated to Christ every day, staying near the cross. But again, I want to look at this as if we're there, standing or sitting, and we're in the crowd, whether friend or foe, we're in the crowd and we're watching him there. I don't have alliterated points, but I'm going to just start out first. Just number one. I guess if we want to look at that, we start our imaginary journey, we would start by looking up at our Lord Jesus, and as our eyes would normally do to anybody, we would go to his face. We would recognize or see the face of our Lord. We'd recognize his head. That's where we start. Start at the top. All right. Now let me just say this, and this is just sort of a side note. What you won't see if you're standing at the foot of the cross, you won't see a long-haired hippie. You won't see that. Matter of fact, Jesus taught us, and Paul referred us to it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, he said that nature itself teaches us that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. Our Lord was not intentionally shameful. Now, he was brought to shame by them stripping him that day. You understand what I'm saying? But he didn't grow his hair long to be shameful. Amen. Matter of fact, long hair on men is generally a sign of rebellion. Right. That's what the hippie movement was a mark of rebellion. Maybe a mark of effeminacy, right? And if it is, then women need to let their hair grow long, quit go getting it cut every few days. Say amen right there. All right. But, and you say, preacher, I thought you preached on Calvary. I am. I'm trying to get there. Y'all won't let me. But seriously, what you don't see, you say, here's what people say, but every picture I ever saw had Jesus with long hair. I was talking to Brother Bale and Brother Pollard out there in Louisiana recently. They, you know, when they bought that church building that they got, we were talking about that, and they were talking about some things they did to clean up. And there was a stain, I don't remember if it was a stained glass, but it was a picture of Jesus that was intricately done. And I think it was up on the pulpit, and it was intricately done. When they went and looked at the building, the pastor that had been the pastor of the church and his daughter, who's a grown woman at that time, they were there because everyone's overseeing the exchange. And they, Brother Bell and them, asked them, do y'all want this picture? Because we're going to get rid of it. And the girl said, you don't want Jesus? I said, my statement back to that would have been, do you think that's Jesus? Right. Because Jesus was not a long-haired hippie. Now, here's what, most of those painters were long-haired hippies. Many of them had never read the Bible. Right. Many of them didn't know. And you say, well, what about the movie stars? They don't read the Bible either. They're not portraying Jesus by the Bible. They're portraying Jesus by what people will recognize. Right. By the pictures, by the Catholic, a whole lot of it. Amen. Anyway, I don't have time to get off on that. But I'm just simply saying this, is that nobody's ever seen a literal picture of Jesus. If he did, he wouldn't be a long-haired hippie. I would say those pictures either look like the artist that painted them, or maybe they might look like the Antichrist. But I don't believe they look like Jesus. Are you with me on that? All right. So when you look at the Savior's head, here's the first thing you will notice, that it's crowned with thorns. Matthew 27, if you're still there, look at verse number 29. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Hold your place in Matthew. Go back to John 19 that I mentioned. And we read verse 25. Back up to verse 2. John 19 and verse 2. And the soldiers, it's talking about Pilate's soldiers. The soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And he put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, the King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. Amen. So both of those texts tell us three times that Jesus had on a crown of thorns. Amen. The soldiers made it, put it on him. John said they made it, put it on him, and then John again said Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns. Now here's what you know. Thorns are the result of man's sin. If Adam hadn't sinned, if mankind hadn't sinned, there'd be no thorns and thistles on the earth. The curse came as a result of man's sin. If mankind had not sinned, Jesus would not have worn a crown of thorns. So you can say, I put that crown of thorns on him. I made that crown of thorns. I shoved it down on his head. Amen. Jesus was wearing a crown of thorns that day, I believe, to show that he's bearing the sins of mankind. Amen. I believe they mocked him. They put a crown on. What's a crown for? A king. They mocked him saying, Hail, King of the Jews. He put a reed in his hand, the purple robe. All that was a regal setting. But the thorns were a mockery crown. But they were calling him king. In other words, what they were saying, he's the king of sinners, in one sense, was what they were saying, because of that curse. He's the king of sinners. He's the king of the curse, they were saying, upon him. But can I tell you, Jesus took the curse upon him that we might have salvation. Amen. I think secondly, we're looking on the face of Jesus, we'd see his eyes, if we could see his eyes. We'd see eyes of sorrow and eyes of mercy. In reality, I'm not sure we could see his eyes because of all the blood, the spittle, all the gore from the scourging and the slapping and the spitting and the torture that he endured. I don't know if we'd be able to see his eyes. But if we could, and let me just go back to the thing about the pictures. The pictures, I remember when I was a kid, we had a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross in the hallway of the trailer that I grew up in. And it was just a little one. It was on a stump of wood. Y'all have seen pictures that they glue that to the stump of wood. And it was a picture of Jesus on the cross. And I remember talking to my mom about that. And the painters, doing the best they can do. They do not portray the utter horror that was Calvary. They can't show the horror of it all. They just don't have any way of doing it. I've heard people say, well, Mel Gibson's movie did the best that's ever been done about that. Again, no, the Bible did the best that's ever been done about that. Amen. But they're saying, well, to make it look real to us, I'm not trying to magnify it, but I am trying to say, if we could look in his eyes, we would see in his eyes, we'd see eyes of mercy, and we'd see eyes of with tears in his eyes. Amen. All the pain and torment we'd see was because of the love that's in his eyes. You remember when Peter denied the Lord that third time and the cock crew? The Bible said, I believe it's Luke that told, it might be Mark, it is Mark that told it, that Jesus looked at Peter. Peter saw the Lord. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I don't think there was anger in the Lord's eyes. I don't think there was vengeance in the Lord's eyes. I think it was sorrow and mercy and forgiveness. Amen. And like the song said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. Amen. There's another song that's real good about this in our songbook. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Amen. Amen. So the eyes of Jesus on the cross that day were not filled with anger or vengeance or hatred. His eyes were filled with tears of mercy. Amen. He looked upon that repentant thief with mercy. He looked upon those around him with mercy. And he looked up to the Father with faith. Amen. Third thing we'd notice is his mouth. The mouth of the Lord on Calvary. If we could see his mouth, we would see it not filled with hateful words or bitter sayings or harmful slurs. Amen. We would see a mouth speaking truth. A mouth speaking forgiveness. Pleading for forgiveness, even for his enemies, and a mouth promising blessing to the repentant believer. Amen. Hold your place. Well, you don't have to hold it. I don't know if we're coming back to Matthew. Go ahead and go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 talks about Jesus on Calvary. I'm glad God gave it to us in all four of the Gospels, by the way. Luke 23, verse 34. Words of our Lord spoken from the cross. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Look down at verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. So his mouth was filled with words of mercy. And with prayers of mercy, pleading for mercy, forgiveness, and then filled with blessing and promise to the one that repented and believed. Amen. And then number four, moving on, we'd look at his hands. If we looked at the hands of Jesus, we'd see they're nail pierced. Amen. I want you to think about the last thing the hands of Jesus did before they nailed him to the cross? What was the last things those hands had done? The last thing was he reached down and picked up an ear and put it on an enemy's head and healed that enemy that had come to arrest him. Amen. Malchus's servant, Jesus, healed his ear with that hand that they're taking to drive nails in. I'm telling you, the hands of Jesus had never done anything but good. Amen. Only good. He'd always done good. They're healing hands. Those hands had touched blinded eyes and made them see. Those hands had lifted a young man out of a coffin and returned him to life and to his widowed mother. Those hands had touched lepers and made them clean. Those hands had broken bread and fed thousands with a few loaves and fishes. Those hands had touched little children and blessed them and taught them. And now those hands are pierced with Roman nails. By the way, I don't think that those Roman soldiers had to wrestle the Lord. I don't think it took 3 or 4 or 20 soldiers to hold his arms down. By the way, 3, 4, or 20 couldn't have done it if he hadn't wanted it done. I remember, you know, Pilate said, "Don't you know I've got the power to release you or the power to crucify you?" Jesus said, "You wouldn't have any power at all if it wasn't given to you from above." He said, I could call 12 legions of angels. And we sing that song, he could have called 10,000 angels, more than that, to destroy the world and set it free, but he didn't. He didn't have to wrestle his hands down. He laid them down on that cross and allowed them to drive those nails. I'm talking about staying near the cross and, by the way, remembering what Jesus did for us. Why is it so hard for him to get us to read the Bible when it wasn't hard to get him to lay down his hands on the cross? Why is it so hard to get him, or for him to get us to go tell somebody about Jesus when it wasn't hard for him to lay his hands down on that cross? We need to stay near the cross, don't we? And then last of all, we'd look at his feet. Again, we'd notice their nail-pierced feet. Those feet had carried him all around Jerusalem and Bethany and Capernaum and Caesarea and Nazareth, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, and doing good. Amen. But now those feet are nailed to an old rugged cross. Amen. But now that I've got you at his feet, that's a good place to be. Because at his feet's where you ought to bow and ask for forgiveness. At his feet is where you ought to look up and ask for mercy, thinking about the fact that he did that for you and he did that for me. Amen. By the way, if you refuse to kneel at his feet now, it's just a little while. And you're going to kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Only thing is then it'll be too late. While we're near the cross today, I'd like to keep it real, make it real to us. And not just make it real right now, but let's keep it real. Amen. Not just through the Christmas season, but into the new year. As we go about our business, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, remember what Jesus did for you. Amen. You can be a little forgiven. Amen. When somebody slams the door in your face, when somebody says something derogatory to you, remember Calvary. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I wish I could make it more real to you. I wish I could paint a better picture, but I can't. But I tell you, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget what Jesus did. Fanny Crosby wrote the song, the last one the choir sang, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flowed from Calvary's mountain." Amen. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God today. And though my message has been short, it's been of the greatest topic that I could ever think of. The death of our Lord Jesus. The sacrificial death. The thing that appeased the anger of God, the thing that could cover our sins, the thing that could take our sins away, nothing but the blood. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you for what Jesus did on that wonderful day. Father, I pray you'd help us today, that we'd rejoice in it, that we'd live near the cross, we'd stay near the cross. And then if there's one that's here this morning, never been saved, I pray they'd bow at your feet and call on you for salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.